Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have Gary Enberg back with us. He's a professional tournament angler, a fishing guide. He's also a writer, photographer, seminar speaker. Does a lot of work with getting children involved in the outdoors and in fishing. So we'll talk with him about that. And also about maybe what's biting, where the fish are best found. Also take your questions and comments, so I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Again, we'd love to hear from you. If you've got a good fishing story, we'd always love to hear that as well. Gary Enberg, welcome back.
Thanks, Larry. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, man. Season's been open for about a month now.
Yeah.
How's the fishing been?
Well, kind of like the weather. It's been kind of up and down. I mean, there's, we'll go through a stretch where, we have some nice days, and then, 2 weeks ago, it was 25 degrees at my house, yeah. And today it's going to be 90. So, that we needed the water to warm up a lot. Things were probably 2 or 3 weeks behind on normal fishing, when things should be biting and when different fish species are spawning and laying their eggs. And, it's just been, some days I get them, some days you don't get them, but I guess that's fishing.
I guess that's...
And you know that, too.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of funny, fishing just from shore on Lake Monona, and I was thinking, you can fish from shore this time of the year really easy, and the boats that were out there, several of the boats were actually close to shore, or casting into the shore, were practically where I was standing.
Well... Right now, you got to remember the fish are mostly going to be 10 feet of water or less because they're going to be spawning, and usually laying their eggs and in different areas in, like I said, 10 feet of water or less. Crappies, it's been kind of funny because crappies usually are one of the first fish species to bite beside lake perch. And usually the rule of thumb is when the lilac stocks start blooming is a good time to be crappie fishing. And that's an old saying, but it really does hold true. But I have friends who are catching bluegills, which normally spawn and start biting later in the year. They're biting now, and the crappies have been a little slow. So, things do change, but there's plenty of good fishing. And like you mentioned, Wisconsin is some of the best fishing in the United States. It's a great place to go. You don't have to go far to find about any species there is. You got the Great Lakes and Lake Michigan, and they say Minnesota has 10,000 lakes. I think Wisconsin has more. And a lot of good opportunities to fish on state land, like you said, from shore. And right now is particularly a good time because the fish are relatively shallow, and you don't have to be out in a boat to catch them. You could be from shore and an easy cast and, out to, 5 to 10 feet of water is probably going to catch a fish this time of year.
Gary Engberg, our guest today, as we talk with him about fishing and the fishing season in the state. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Give a call. We've got Jeff on the line from Madison. Let's go to Jeff and see what's on his mind. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, fellas. Good to hear you.
Hi, Jeff.
Good to hear you.
Just wanted to share a first-time experience that I had about a month ago in late April. I've been fishing in Wisconsin for about 34 years now in various places. And by the way, I want to send out thanks to my Uncle Charlie for teaching me a lot of fishing techniques. But my partner and I were fishing in the Mississippi River just south of Wyalusing that first nice warm April weekend. And we got lucky. We had some good action and got several smallmouth bass in short order. And then about the fifth one my partner landed was just a beautiful 15 or 16-inch smallmouth. And as I picked it up to unhook it, I saw something kind of wiggling off of its back. And I thought, oh, boy, it's got an old lure stuck in it or something. Then the closer I looked at it, I saw that this little wiggling thing was alive. And turned out it was a lamprey eel attached to the fish. and had never seen that before, had never even heard of it. And, of course, I grabbed it and pulled at it and tried to get it off the fish, but it was set in there hard, so I eventually just released the fish. And didn't know what to make of that. I was kind of alarmed because I'd heard about the Great Lakes lampreys, but as soon as I looked it up on my phone, I realized that those are native lampreys, and they've been there for a long time. But I'd never seen one before. Just wanted to share that.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. What's your experience, Ben Gary?
I have not seen, I don't know if I ever have seen a smallmouth bass with a lamprey on it. You know, I've seen larger fish, walleyes, muskies, northern pike. I've seen the odd one, and I'm talking about very, very rare. Most of the time, you know, like our reader, our listener said, you know, you'll find them in Great Lakes fish, you know, in the trout and in the salmon in the Great Lakes. And, you know, they're natural. They've been there for a long time, but not in freshwater fish, and particularly in smallmouth bass. So I think those are great rarity.
Yeah. Yeah, you had an interest. Did you cut the thing off, Jeff, or did you just leave it?
I had nothing with me to cut it or pull it off. As I said, I tugged at it pretty hard, but it was very slick, and they're good at what they do. They're stuck on there pretty good.
Yeah, they are indeed. I had a muskie once, I don't know, 38, 39-incher with a lamprey attached to it. I happen to have my knife, so I got rid of the lamprey. But it's an interesting experience. You think back, Gary, Jeff mentioned the Great Lakes, and lamprey eels were a scourge at one point.
Yep.
On the Great Lakes, 30 years ago, maybe?
Probably 30, maybe even a little longer. I mean, they were very, very prolific then, and I think they've died down. I don't see them. I get at them on probably Lake Michigan maybe a half a dozen times a year with a couple friends who are charter captains, and I haven't seen one in a couple years. But, you know, they're still there. They used to be, you know, a lot more common, and they used to take, its toll on the fishery. But the reason why they've, the number of them has gone down, I'm not even sure of, and that's a good question that I will find out.
Yeah, I was trying to remember what caused their decline, and I can't remember either.
There might have been something that was eating them too. You know, I mean, we've had so many different invasive species come in. You know, through the Great Lakes, the St. Lawrence Seaway into the Great Lakes. Most of them are coming from ballast of ships coming over from Eastern Europe, where there's different, I mean, we've gotten, that's how we got zebra mussels, spiny water fleas, you know, rusty crayfish. These are all from different areas that, you know, have taken up home here, too.
Jeff, thanks again for calling. Appreciate it. Let's take a call from Tim in Iola. Hello, Tim.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Appreciate the call.
My question is, Gary, for probably 30 years, I've fished a lake just east of Woodruff in the Highlands. That's very clear water. And most of that time, the lake itself was very, very low. In the last probably 6-7 years, that water elevation has come up in, I'm guessing, 2 to 3 feet or more. And we are not doing very, very well with our traditional shoreline fishing. Is there a different presentation? Now, we're fishing mostly largemouth and smallmouth bass. Is there a different presentation we need to be looking at? Or are other anglers having the same problem?
I would think so. Higher water levels has taken place all over the upper Midwest. Like in South Dakota, Lake Oahe there was, I used to fish a lot there in South Dakota. And, I mean, the water level was, I mean, the total area was probably under 100,000 acres. Now it's like 150,000 acres. So a lot of it has to do with what, you know, we're getting, you know, a little more precipitation than normally. But as far as techniques go, fishing from shore, there's a product out called a rocket bobber. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but they allow you to maybe get another 10, 15 yards in your cast, because your fish may be just beyond what you can reach them with. And that's a good idea to try. Or try, you know, get yourself a pair of waders or a pair of knee-high boots. Move out a little bit deeper so you can fish.
Yeah, rocket bobbers.
Rocket bobbers are great. I mean, I've used them many, many times of fishing from shore, and we do have great, you know, great shore fishing in most of the state. You know, initially when we had a lot of things closed up because of the virus, you know, you couldn't even fish from shore in state parks and state land. But that has all changed now. And a lot of people don't have, you know, don't have the opportunity. They don't have a boat, or they don't have a friend who has a boat. And, you know, you're restricted to fishing from piers and shore. I would suggest that people join the Ahara Fishing Club out of Madison. They've been around for 50 years or so. They need some more young members, but it's a great group. You can look them up, and they have a Facebook page. And I think they meet on the second Tuesday of every month. And you can meet a bunch of good guys, and, you know, you can meet some people who would be glad to take you out fishing.
And there are probably some other clubs around the state, I think, where...
Oh, every little town has usually a bass club, or, you know, Lake Wisconsin has a bass club. All kinds of different groups, not just fishing. They might be a total outdoor group where they, you know, encompass, you know, fishing, hunting, you know, outdoor projects. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can help the outdoors.
Thanks again for that call, by the way. Let's go to Tim. Tim, we just had talking about the high water levels. Nina in Trempealeau, thank you for calling.
Hi. I'd just like to tell you why there isn't a bunch of lamprey in the Great Lakes.
Okay.
Love to hear it.
It's because the United States Geological Survey in La Crosse, Wisconsin, developed a lamprey site, I believe it was in the late 70s or early 80s, and every year they go into the mouths of the rivers that empty into the Great Lakes, and they deploy the lamprey site because the lampreys live in the estuaries in their juvenile years, and they live in the little holes. They stay in their little holes in their filter feeders. And so while they're in their little holes, the lamprey site rolls along the bottom because it's heavier than water, and it goes into their little holes and it kills them. And the tireless work of the people of the Geological Survey is what every year they have to do this. And it kills about 90% of the babies, but about 10% of them escape, you know, being killed. And they repopulate the Great Lakes. And so every year they kill them, every single year.
Well, thanks for the information.
That is very, very interesting. I had not heard that, or if I did, I'd forgotten about it from a long time ago. Thank you very much for that call. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Talking fishing today. Question about fishing? Lures, where to fish, how to fish? Maybe you've got a great fishing story to tell. I think Gary and I could probably tell stories all day long about fishing. It's always a lot of fun. So give a call. 800-6-
Even if you don't catch fish, Larry.
Yeah, even if you don't catch fish. Oh, man. 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Jill Nadeau, our producer today. Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at fishing in Wisconsin today with our guest, Gary Engberg, professional tournament angler, fishing guide, photographer. He's a seminar speaker, advocates for getting children involved in the outdoors. I'm Larry Mueller. Really appreciate you listening in today. And if you have a question, comment, or experience to share, 800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org. Nick in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Nick.
Hi. First of all, I can give you a hot fishing tip. I just got off Wabisa. It was terrible. We were very surprised with the heat. We thought, the bluegills would be in there. They're coming soon, whatever. My question is, 20 years ago, my friends and I, we would actually call it crappie madness when the crappies were spawning. It was just foolproof. You know, you go in there in the shallows, and they come in eventually, and I've tried that the last 4 or 5 years, including this year, and it just doesn't seem to happen. Anybody else notice that? Wondering?
Yeah.
Well, I've heard some people. I know at the spring hearings that DNR has every year, I know that a lot of people were voting for lowering the bag limit on panfish right now it's, I mean, a few years ago it was 50, then it was knocked down to 25, and a lot of people now are suggesting that it goes down to 15 fish a day, because people don't need to get a limit every time. You don't have to feed the whole neighborhood, but, you know, just getting out there and catching good, you know, good fish is, you know, is great. And people just have to learn that there's other people fishing too. And if you get onto the fish, like sometimes you do with crappies, especially when they're spawning in the shallows, you know, you can really fill up, you know, your limit pretty quick. And I suggest that people, you know, don't always keep the big females, don't always keep the males. Like in bluegills, the males will have a little bump on their head. Let those fish go, and, you know, keep it, you know, enough fish, you know, not for the whole neighborhood, just maybe a couple of meals. But I think that the numbers maybe have gone down a little bit, and I would not be against lowering the bag limit to 15. But some people, you know, complain about bag limits because they want to, you know, catch all the fish they can, and they have enough times when maybe they don't catch any fish when they go out, so they figure they can make up for it.
Yeah. So there you go. It may be a little bit of overfishing going on there, Nick. I'm not sure about any environmental thing. I know the number of walleye in the state seems to be dropping a bit, and I think some of that is related to the fact when you catch a walleye, people catch walleye, they keep them.
Well, you've seen also, too, that you know, there was the DNR put out a walleye initiative where they've had different bag limits, and it always used to be like 15 inches. But, you know, I live on the Wisconsin River, and I've been lucky during this, you know, tough time we've been going through. I can at least go out in my backyard and make a cast and catch some fish, you know, which is really nice. But overall, you know, it's there are so many variables involved. You know, you just have to, you know, it could be as far as numbers of fish going. You know, different lakes, you know, have different things, different, you know, cycles they go through. And, you know, I would just try, people have a tendency to fish memories. They caught fish maybe in a location or a certain spot or a certain lake, you know, for years, and then all of a sudden they don't catch them. Well, fish move around too, and it depends on the species of fish. So you gotta, you could maybe try a different lake, maybe try a different technique. You know, this time of year, live bait seems to work very good, but they're also making very good plastics. And, you know, as the water warms up too, you can start using some hard baits or crank baits and catch your fish too.
Let's take another call. David in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, David.
Yeah, years ago it was popular for salmon fishing in Lake Michigan, particularly our guides off of Racine. Is that popular yet or going on yet?
Oh, the fishery on Lake Michigan is very, very good. I mean, the number of charter captains, the number of people who are going out. You don't even have to go that far out in some of the places. I know down around Milwaukee you can put in it, and McKinley Park, and the fishy areas down there where the power plants are. They end up fishing those spots even throughout the winter because the water stays open. But, you know, there's still a real good fishery in the Great Lakes, and, you know, that depends a lot, too, on what the forage base is. And I know that, you know, smelt, which is one of the main forages that the fish eat, you know, their numbers were down for a while. But in talking to, you know, people who are on the water every day and you know, charter fish for a living, you know, their numbers seem to be still good.
Yeah. Richard called the show the other day to say that the salmon are really biting in the Two Rivers area right now. So
yeah. It's about fishing, that time.
Yeah, it's going pretty well yet, David. So there you go. Thank you for calling. Kurt in Brownsville, your turn. Hi, Kurt.
Hi.
Hi.
Just wanted to share a little story. My brothers and I have been fishing. We have a one-week fishing trip every year. And this year will be about 40 or 41 years now we've been doing this. And over the years, we've been bringing along our kids and nieces and nephews, and just as the family grows, you know, you bring them along, and now getting to the point where we're just the four of us are almost back to fishing by ourselves again. But I still got my nephew, my hunting and fishing partner, and he still comes with us, but he is just hooked on the fishing now. But it's just great to be able to get together with people. We all live on different parts of the state now, so this 1 week we get together and able to spend some time and just catch up on things and on family, and just it's just a great experience. And just showing my nephew the we go up to the Turtle Flambeau Flowage now, and it's so wild up there. You see the bears swimming across the water. We get in the back bays, and we see the loon nests that they're putting out to help the population of the loons. So it's a great experience. It's just something that everybody should be able to do.
That's something that, you know, I've really tried and have gotten involved in over the years. And I teach a Hooked on Fishing, Not Drugs program in all the grade schools, second graders in Sauk County. And I've put thousands of children. We have a private lake at a campground where the people and the DNR stock it for us. Kids get to go out there, like I said, second graders. You're teaching them about everything, because most kids don't have that many parents, actually, I don't think, who fish anymore. But there's nothing greater than seeing a child catch their first fish. You know, I have, I don't know, hundreds of photographs of kids I've taken, and the smiles and their attitude and everything else like that changes. And especially, you know, the best thing to do when you're taking, you know, young people out fishing, take them somewhere where they're going to catch fish. And there's enough places that are stocked, you know, even around the Madison area. You can shore fish. You can go even a little farther, go Devil's Lake. You can go to Indian Lake. You know, there's lots of places around where you're going to catch fish. The size makes no difference. The kids just want something tugging on their line.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Kurt, thank you very much for calling. By the way, did you ever use yellow bucktails on the Turtle Flambeau Flowage?
Actually, we use the lime green. That lime green is just a killer for northerns and muskie, and you know, that's our secret weapon, especially the big spinner baits too.
I can remember times. This goes back some years where one of the local guides says, "Oh, you got to use yellow all the time." And I at that point I had a few yellow bucktails. And I did have some success with them, but of course I was using them all the time because the guy told me I should use them.
Larry, I suggest that people too, though, even though something has worked consistently over the years, or, you know, where you do have somewhat of a pattern, still have some other colors and other type of baits to use, because sometimes what you've used in the past doesn't always work. That's why it's always good. If I'm out and if I'm jigging, if I'm using a hair jig or a regular jig and maybe a minnow or a leech or a night crawler, I might change my colors up every half an hour or so if I'm not catching any fish.
That makes very, very good sense. Kurt, thanks again for, I'm with you on the Turtle Flambeau Flowage. I've always loved that water. It's a big water, that's for sure. I'm trying to remember how many thousand acres it is. Do you remember, Kurt?
I don't know how big it is, but I know it's very large. And
20,000 acres, you know, maybe.
Yeah, you could fish your whole life there and not hit every spot.
I mean, like you said, it's great to go somewhere where you're going to be catching fish, but there are other things that make fishing so enjoyable and relaxing, and that's, like you said, maybe seeing a bear, seeing a loon with their babies, watching eagles, you know, seeing deer along shoreline. There's so many other things in the outdoors and nature, and Wisconsin has, you know, one of the best natural resources departments there is in the country. I mean, we send sturgeon to other states in the sturgeon restoration program. You know, we've traded with states. You know, we got our wild turkeys initially from Missouri, where we traded them rough grouse for. So,
Yeah.
You know, there's it's just, you know, it's a great state to live in, and you don't have to go on, you know, I traveled when I was fishing tournaments a lot, but you can stay not far from home or even within the state, and you can catch about any species there is and in decent numbers and size. And don't expect to catch fish every day, because no one does. If they do, they're lying. And, you know, just get out there and enjoy the whole process and experience.
I was fishing with a good buddy of mine, Bob Cooney, and I fished on Lake Mendota one day, and we caught 11 species of fish over the course of the day in that lake.
Well, Mendota is still a very, very good lake. The only thing I think that are down is it's not the perch factory like it used to be, you know, 30, 40 years ago. There's still perch in it, but not like there used to be. And, you know, the university has a great program where they do a lot of studies there, too. But, you know, recently, you know, I've been on Lake Mendota, and my fishing partner and good friend, the professional Tony Puccio, was out the other day. I think they had, like, 7 northerns, some smallmouth, some walleyes, some largemouth bass, and some crappies. So, you know, and that's basically, they were using, you know, a slip bobber, you know, in relatively 10 feet or less of water. Sometimes, you know, this time of year is a great time, like I said earlier, to be fishing from shore, because you can reach a lot of those fish that, as the water warms, are going to move out to deeper water.
Yeah. Thanks again, Kurt. John and Toma, it's your turn. Hi, John.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I had a good little story here. Back, we got a cottage on Lake Nokomis up by Tomahawk.
Yep.
And years ago, we were walleye fishing up there, and we were motor trolling with a shad wrap, just using a little shad wrap about 2.5-3 inches long.
It's a number 5.
Yeah, about a number 5. We were motor trolling, hooked into about a 49-inch muskie. which was very unexpected. You know what? Well, this has got to be a big walleye when you first hook into it, and then you're thinking while you're reeling it in, well, it can't be a walleye. You know, it's something bigger than that. I think I got a muskie. Sure enough, to get it up by the boat, turned out to be a 49-incher.
That's a nice fish.
That's a very nice fish.
But particularly this time of year, you know, the possibilities of catching like a muskie when you're walleye fishing are a lot greater too, because they spawn later and they're going to be in relatively shallow water. And if something goes by them that looks appetizing, they're going to grab it.
great story, John. Appreciate your call. It reminded me of fishing on Mendota again from a pier, and I had an eighth ounce Panther Martin lure I was using, and 4 pound test line, and I got a 42 maybe, I can't remember now exactly, 42-inch northern that I caught.
Get the net.
Yeah, actually that's what we had to do. I finally got him in, and then I think the northern saw the pier and went going for the pier, and I got the net down in the water right as he was getting there and got him in.
But that's one of the good success stories on the Madison chain, is that Muskies Inc., you know, the local Madison chapter, has done a fantastic job partnering with the DNR and stocking the Madison lakes with muskies. They've been putting in the traditional Wisconsin muskie that comes from the Thompson Fish Hatchery, and then they also put in the Leech Lake strain of muskies, which is from Minnesota. They come down and you know, they're letting go like maybe 12, 13-inch fish, but they cost $1 a fish. So there's pretty good money involved in them. Most of them, when I've been out with the DNR, have been into Lake Monona, but they're throughout the chain, and, you know, people will fish a lifetime to try and catch a 50-inch muskie, and there are 50-inch muskies in the Madison Lakes.
Oh, yes, there are. Let's take a call from Wayne in Green Bay. Wayne, hello.
Good morning, good morning. I listen to your show all the time, Larry, all about the canoeing, your garden show, everything. It's amazing.
Thank you.
I'm a big outdoorsman, but I'm a terrible fisherman, and I can hunt just about anything, but I have a 10-year-old, and she loves to fish, but Dad is terrible at it. And I have a knack for, like I said, the hunting thing. I can walk into a store and say, okay, we need this, and we go. I go into a, I want to fish and I want to catch fish, but I'm overwhelmed. I walk into Fleet Farm or wherever they might have fishing stuff, and there is so much. And I have fishing gear, but I look at these lures, and I want to catch more than, I want to put more than just a hook and a split shot on and try to catch something a little bigger, but I don't know what to actually try. What? Where do I go to actually, it's probably dumb, but I don't know, I can catch a walleye, and that's about the biggest fish I can ever catch. And I want to be able to, you're talking about, what was that, a shad rat number 5 or something just a minute ago, and I don't even know what that stuff is. How do I, is there a place I can go? I know you're talking about a club, but I don't have time for another club. I'm already in 3. And, but is there a place I can look up or things that'll say that'll actually give me a good general?
You can go on, I'll tell you one thing, with social media now, you can go onto YouTube and see a lot of instructional films, you know, just maybe put in fishing and maybe the kind of fish you're looking for, and you can find a lot of instructional films. Plus, the DNR does have fishing seminars and fishing classes around the state at different times of the year. So the Wisconsin DNR website is a very, very valuable tool, and it'll, you know, help you out a lot. There's different, like the Hera Fishing Club puts out a little pamphlet and book you can get from them that tells you area lakes, what to use, how to use it, various techniques, and it's very helpful, especially, you know, maybe if you're having a problem catching fish. But I would just stick with it. Sometimes, you know, you go into these big box stores, and I think the all the stuff and lures they have are to catch the fishermen, not to catch fish. And I've used basically, I mean, it's pretty hard to go wrong if you're using, I mean, I sometimes when I'm walleye fishing down in the river, I'm using nothing but a hook. Usually I like a gold hook because it gives a little bit of flash in stained water. But a split shot, a hook, and live bait, you know, maybe use a slip bobber, maybe don't. And then, you know, vary your cadence and your, you know, bringing your, you know, retrieving your bait, and you know, try different techniques. You know, there's so much stuff out there. If you go on the internet, you can find about anything you want, and a lot of it is very, very good information. You know, I got a good website, GaryEngbergOutdoors.com. I have a lot of stories and stuff over, I've been writing for over 30 years now, to age myself, but there's, you know, a lot of material out there, and most stores, though, do have knowledgeable people that, you know, aren't just trying to sell you something. You know, if you tell them your situation, tell them what you want to catch, you know, they'll help you out.
And if you've got some local, you know, local bait shops or local bait stores in your area, Wayne, it never hurts to talk to those people.
Bait shops are great places to hang out, Larry.
Yeah, they're great places to hang out and get to know the people and they a little bit. And they're usually pretty darn helpful when it comes to, okay, what kind of baits are working the best, or what, you know, what do I need to do to catch fish on the local lake? And they're going to help.
And I'll tell you another thing you can do is, and, you know, I've done it my whole career is, you know, maybe, you know, it may be pricey, or, you know, there's all different prices for guides, but maybe hire a guide for a day to take you out in some water. Tell them what you know, what level you're at. Tell them what you want to try and catch and go out with them, and you can learn it a lot because there's a lot of real good fishermen. I belong to the Four Lakes Guiding Club, and we have, like, a professional Tony Puccio, Wally Banfrey, Ron Bearfield, Lee Talkin. These are all local fishermen who are as good as any fisherman in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Gary in Madison, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because just kind of dovetailing off on what your previous caller talked about, you know, I've been fishing for a long, long time, but you know, you still kind of are limited to, okay, you know, I've got a lure for a bass, I've got a lure for, a walleye, whatever. But, you know, technique and how to, you know, even like read a fish finder or, you know, just different techniques and what time and what to look for and when to go. You know, I also was wondering if there's any type of club or, get together where guys would talk about specific topics like, the white bass are running up in Fremont. Now, this is how you go about catching those. Or it's, you know, spawning time for bluegills on Wingra. And this is kind of what you look for and do there. That's kind of like the things I think would really bring out a lot more guys, because like the guy said, guys are just confused. You know, it's like, what the heck do I do? I don't even know what to look for here. So, I guess to dovetail on that, what more would you say about clubs or classes or get-togethers?
That's why I suggest, you know, a fishing club like that, because you're going to have fishermen at all different levels. You're going to have some guys who maybe are professionals, some guys who are just beginning, but the club like Yahara always will have a guest speaker from all around the state and the country talking about specific different species. You can go and listen to them. But then there's always open discussion. People, all the guys there, and, you know, I think Yahara probably gets over 50 guys at most of their meetings, maybe quite a few more. They'll talk about their experiences that they've had recently, what they've been fishing for, what they've been using. There's no real secrets, because people, you know, people want to help you, and they want to help you catch fish.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate your call. Kevin in Algoma, your turn. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. Gary, this is Kevin up in Algoma, one of your Facebook friends. I want to get you up here fishing one of these days.
All right. Let me know.
Okay. I want to give you a quick update on the sea lamprey. That lady had a lot of good information.
Yes, sir.
Some of it was, to tell you a little bit more about it, it started in 1958. And it was because of the collapse of the lake trout fishery, so they needed something to, you know, the alewives were washing up on the beaches, so introduced that lamprecide, and that is done. She's right in that it's done annually, but each stream is only treated on a rotating basis about every 3 to 5 years. There's about 200 tributaries in the Great Lakes that are treated, and it's just part of, it's a main part of the approach, but there's also 30 barriers by dams on the Great Lakes to stop the migrating lampreys, the adults, and there's also a control program that has trap nets in about 40 tributaries. So during the spawning season, they use like pheromone to attract the males and the females, and they'll get them in these trap nets and take out about 40% of the adults. So it's a multi-functional thing, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife and the Fisheries and Oceans of Canada are the main ones that do the treatment. But just want to tell you, the rainbow trout and the salmon are biting really well now, so time to come on up.
All right.
Thank you. Give me a call.
Kevin, thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, Richard was, I was thinking, gee, I wish he'd call me and tell me about, take me over to Two Rivers area for some salmon fishing. Tell you what, this is always a pleasure, Gary. I want to thank you so much for being with us today, and frankly, and for all you do for the kids and the programs that you do run with and help run with kids, to getting them out into the outdoors. As you say, fishing is part of it, but really it's just the out of doors and all the other experiences that you have. That
they're called memories, Larry. Memories.
Yeah. One of these times we're going to have you out, and we just do nothing but tell stories.
I got a question. See if anyone can answer this one, and I know you can. An old friend of ours who's passed, to an old writer, what was the most important thing that he always said when we were cleaning fish? How did you clean your fish? What did you use? A product.
Oh, well, a sharp knife.
No. How about the Chicago Tribune? Right?
On that note, we're done. Thanks, Gary.
Okay, Larry. Great talking to you.
Yeah, great talking to you. We'll get you back. We'll do that again. Gary Engberg, our guest, professional tournament angler, fishing guide, seminar speaker, and his avocation has been getting kids involved in the outdoors. He's done a lot of really great work. Well, we're going to stay in the water. here a little bit, but switch gears, swimming, and talk swimming. It's been around for a long time, and we'll learn more coming up next with our guest, who is the author of a new book. It's called Splash, 10,000 Years of Swimming. That next. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.